What is going on, everybody? My name is Jay, and I'm here with my other two hosts, D-House and Mike, to record episode 2 of The Wild Wormhole. What are we calling this episode?
Oh, I don't know yet.
Yeah, let's just feel it out, you know? You gotta let the episode define itself, Jay.
That happens naturally through the course of the episode, man.
I also learned how to use Google Forms with you guys.
Yes.
Show notes, you know. Yes. The professionalism in podcasting. It's actually a new class they teach at my college this semester. So I'm just kidding.
Well, good, man.
All right. So we're officially up on iTunes now. I don't think we were the last time we recorded until a couple days after. We're on iTunes. We're on every podcast thing you can think of, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that trash. We, that sounds about right. I got some cards.
You did. Yeah. And I wish I had some cards, man.
Jealous.
I know.
I want to like drive to your house and play some games.
I feel like the cool kid on the block. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
like the rich friend that everyone's always jealous of because he's always got like the cool stuff.
No, that's probably the best part about this all. The second you posted that you got cards, literally multiple accusations came in about how you shelled out $400 for two decks.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here like, nope, he didn't.
Absolutely crazy.
Like people just assume like, oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
A good friend and fan of Double Blanks, a longtime fan, Joe Rankin, him and a buddy went to Gen Con. They sold one set off for a lot of money or whatever, and then they sold the other set to me for a very cheap price of like $20 a pack or $20 a deck.
That's awesome, man.
I was super lucky and fortunate, and I'm so grateful for all the fans that the Wild Wormhole has, that I've had with Double Blanks, and how generous and supportive everyone's been to us and to me and all the stuff I've ever done. So that is, and I got to record a video with it.
Yeah.
It's the best, you know.
Yeah. With a ton, I mean, it has a ton of views. I think I was telling Mike, I think I mentioned this to you too, where this is the first game where I'll actually care about unboxing videos, because literally every unboxing video is going to be different, which is like still mind-boggling. Yeah.
I think in the future, like when the game comes out, we should make it a segment on our show, just like at the end of the show, that like one of us opens a deck and we just like go through the cards and see what's in it.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
That's like, you know, like it's always interesting to see like what somebody's deck is going to end up being like.
Yeah.
And like in this game, like, you know, no two unboxings will ever be the same because of the nature of the game itself.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I might have to like buy a whole case and just open 12 decks on stream or something when the game comes out.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah, I was listening to Team Covenant. They done a couple of podcasts talking about Keyforge, and they were talking about, like, you know, get a case or whatever they call it, and or display, and it's like 12 decks. It's like, just open one a week.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you know, experience that. Maybe. I'm like, I don't have the self-discipline not to open all 12 in an hour.
Yeah.
Like, how am I supposed to sit there knowing there's unopened decks and not open them? What the
heck? Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd take me less than an hour. It'd take me like 10 minutes. I'd have every single deck open and look through.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be the kind of person that would open one every week. Like,
I think I could do it. And I think that would be a really fun experience. Like, one week you master this deck and you played it. Next week you open a completely new deck and you're mastering that
new
deck.
New discoveries. That's like the whole point of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I awesome. Love the premise, and I'm excited. That like that kind of stuff makes me excited.
Yeah. How much more excited did you get after you opened your decks?
Oh, so much
more
excited.
Were you like, oh man, you have actual cards now, and like you got to play them with somebody now.
Yeah, I was like, Chris, get over here right now and play some Keyforge with me. I was like, I don't care if I got tokens, I'll use coins, I'll use pennies, I'll use whatever I gotta use, and I just want to play some of this. And then like the image quality is so much better than like print and plays.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
So it's just like nice pristine cards, and the sense of, like we've said so many times before, the sense of like ownership. I'm like, this is my deck now. So like, yeah. And I was excited with the cards that were in it. And it's like, this is awesome because I have a unique deck that I've not seen anyone else even have some of these cards. Yeah. Like some of the cards that I got hadn't even been spoiled yet. So I was like, wow, this is really, really interesting. And like when you play card games like Destiny and like the whole set gets spoiled before the game even comes out, or like if like I know people that are play testers for games and like they know all the cards before they come out, it's like you don't get the same kind of satisfaction as you do when you're opening packs that you've never seen the cards. Yeah. And like the hot takes you get when you're like, oh wow, this card's awesome, and that's really satisfying. I'm glad that I was able to open a pack before I knew every card in the game.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I actually, like, now that you say that, I really hope that they don't, like, in future sets, I hope that they don't spoil, you know, every card. I hope that they, like, release the decks and then, like, people are discovering things, like, as, you know, like, the days and weeks go by after the, you know, the launch of that set. That's just such a fun time.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the big news for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. I really, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go play some Keyforge now, so I'll see you guys later.
Just hold those up on camera, man. Just hold them up the whole time. Yeah.
So, we've gotten to play a lot more lately. I specifically have played a lot more lately. We've played on TTS, I've played in Life and TTS, and we've gotten to really understand a little bit more about the game as the more we've played, the better we've gotten. Is there anything at D-House that really stands out to you in the gameplay, the mechanics that you have learned through playing?
Yeah, I was mentioning it before we started recording, but I feel like every game I play, I think I learn a little bit more about actual strategy, because a lot of it right now is just playing cards and be like, oh crap, I didn't even know that was a card. Like, so trying to play around things or playing around strategy. I mean, we kind of know what each house does, but at the same time, there's cards that break the mold of each house. So you could be playing against the deck that breaks the mold of that house, like, really, like, strongly. So, so I played two games in a row where I felt like I was dominating the game, where I had a giant board state. I think I had like 13, you know, creatures in one and like 9 in another one, and my opponent had like 1 or 2 creatures, and I just thought, man, I'm about to steamroll, this is it. Both of them got a like different types of board wipes and just ended my board state, and they were just enough ahead on Amber that all they had to do was play a couple cards, reap a little bit, and win. And it was really discouraging. I'm just thinking, okay, so maybe in this game, and again, I'm still new at this, so I could be completely wrong. We could be listening to this in a year and be like, wow, like, that was stupid. Like, I can't believe you said that. But I'm looking at, like, I almost felt like, because in a lot of games that I play, I feel like you just want to flood your side with lots of cards. So like in Destiny, it's like you want like as many upgrades as you can. If you can ramp harder than your opponent and get more dice out, typically you win. Say like L5R, if you're just, you got tons of dudes ready to break provinces like and defend, like, you're great. So it's like kind of shifting my mindset, and like sometimes like a really wide board is not the best strategy. A lot of times it's just not, because of some of those like blowout cards where it wipes your board. So there may be a comfortable middle ground where it's like you start to hit that 4, 5, 6, maybe, like, where you say, okay, at this point I lean into the houses I have, make sure I'm using the guys I actually have. Because I realized in a couple of those games, I went super wide and I played all these creatures, and I just looked, I'm like, I didn't even use 5 or 6 of the creatures. I just played them and got absolutely zero value out of them. And so I'm just trying to figure that out. I don't have a conclusion. I'm just, it's one of those lessons I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the sweet spot where you kind of hit, like, you know, just a good amount of creatures, not too many, not too little, where you just need to start getting value out of those creatures and stop just trying to flood your board.
Yeah, it's tricky. That's happened to me a couple times too, where I have, like, you know, a huge lead on board, and then all of a sudden I lose, and it's like, wait, what just happened? But it's Yeah, I don't know exactly like what my takeaways are though. I think that's kind of like the stage I'm at right now. It's like I understand that like maybe this isn't the right strategy, but I haven't played enough of those games to like really figure out like what the strategy is in those situations. So yeah, it's been really weird for me.
Yeah, I've had a few. I've actually recently decided that like, if I can get three or four of the same house mm-hmm. out in one, like, say I'm super lucky, I get three of the same creatures out on the turn. If my opponent doesn't wipe those, sometimes, no matter what I have in my hand, I just use those creatures to reap and get amber or attack and clear their board. Because, like you said, playing... All right, I played three from that house. Next turn, I draw into three more creatures from a different house. I could play those, but then I'm not doing anything with the creatures I played last turn.
Yeah.
And then the turn after that, they just wipe the board. Yeah. And it's like, unless you have good play effects to play, which will be huge in this game, then I mm-hmm. think sometimes you have to decide, all right, I think I have to use what I have now and then later set myself up again once they have to wipe these creatures off the board.
Yeah, I think that to a certain extent that definitely makes sense to... sort of push your advantage while you have one, and then not worry about sort of overextending onto the board. And that's a concept in Magic and Hearthstone and stuff like that. It's like you don't want to play everything from your hand that you can all the time, because just in case something happens, like you don't have anything to like reload with. This game is obviously different, being that you draw back up every single, you know, like at the end of every turn, but like you're not going to see those creatures again for a while.
Yeah.
And it's... I think it really is also dependent on what houses you're playing against. Like maybe against a, you know, group of houses that you don't know has like great board clears, you
yeah.
go a bit wider. And then like against Dis, like you probably aren't going to want to like build like, you know, a 13 creature wide board, because they have like, I don't know, at least three cards that we've seen that just like nuke every creature. Yeah. And then it's like, I got into situations, I think it was against you, Jay, where like you had that board of creatures, and it kind of like puts me in a position where I'm like forced to deal with it. So it's like, if I don't have anything that can immediately deal with it in my hand, then it's like I have to play the house that I have the most things of so that I can get rid of those and then try to draw into something that can deal mm-hmm. with those. And I don't know the decks well enough to know whether or not I even have that in my deck, a way to deal with it, but... I think there's a ton of nuance there when it comes to just like how you play creatures.
Yeah, and another interesting thing is that like a lot of the decks that we played early on in TTS did have those board wipes. But I will say that in a lot of the decks I've seen lately, and like my two decks that I got,
mm-hmm.
they had like one board wipe, maybe. Like one of them was Poison Wave, which is like two damage to each creature, which really mm-hmm. isn't even a board wipe. And then that's it. So, like, I do have to say, I think those decks are misconstruing how we view the game, because not every deck is going to have a board wipe or have multiple board wipes. And a lot of decks, I feel like, probably might not even have a ton of board wipes. So if that's the case, then building a big board state will be better. But you never know what's in your opponent's deck, right?
Yeah, like strategy in general in this game is really, really interesting. Like the main strategies that people are going to like adhere to are going to have to be super generic, because you don't know what you're playing against. Yeah. Pretty much ever.
I'll be interested.
But I think that's so interesting.
If you reveal your deck list before you play, because the mm-hmm. back of the Archons have deck list on them.
Yeah, I hope not.
Interested if like in OP they decide, you get to see.
I feel like that's like counter to the whole like
feel of the game.
Yeah, the whole theory on like discovery, you know. Yeah.
It would be awful if they did that. Like it just
yeah.
it doesn't make sense. I mean the whole like reasoning behind doing that is like comes from the strategy of scouting at upper level tournaments like in Magic mm-hmm. where you go in teams
yeah.
and like your team goes and scouts out, like if you're making the cut, they go and, you know, scout out what the other guy's doing, and like and they can give you say, hey, they have three of this card, watch out, he plays like this way, whereas you could play a dude who came by himself and doesn't know that that's a possibility, like doesn't have a team to tell him, he's at a disadvantage because, you know, because the other guy can scout and he couldn't. And so they try to counteract that by, in like Destiny and L5R, like, hey, here's the deck list. So I get that, but I still say in Keyforge, man, that discovery piece is what makes so much of this game fun. Like, where you're just like, dang it, I didn't know you would have that, or I didn't think you'd have that. And
I kind of hope that like competitive Keyforge is like nowhere near that cutthroat that people would even do that. Like I hope that this is just like not the game for that, because you know, like every other game already is. So I'm into this being just the play cards and see what happens.
Like, isn't it weird to think of like what the world championship for Keyforge will look like? Like, I just I mean, you just crank out games. Like, there's no deck building. Like, it just
play testing is gonna be so weird.
And the coolest thing is that like it's gonna be your deck that wins. You know what I mean? You didn't net deck it. You didn't tech against.
And then you sell it on eBay for $1,000.
The net decked it for you.
Yeah. And then sell it on eBay, like he said, for $1,000,000.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be the best deck in the world, right? Yeah,
of course.
Oh, that sounds fun. Well, there you go. That is what we've learned recently. Now we're going to move into the next bit, which is recently, what have you played? And what has become your most favorite card?
Wait, we're not doing played cards. It's just favorite cards, because I don't think Mike and I have played our cards.
No, I haven't.
It's just
I just picked a card that I've seen recently that I thought was cool.
Yeah, same here. Just something fun.
All right.
A card you've played or seen recently. Of all those, what's your favorite one recently?
There it is.
D House, you go first.
All right, cool. So I recently saw a Logos card that I just love. It's called Neutron Shark. So it has
this card wrecked me.
So it has it has one power, no armor. It's a creature, beast, mutant. It is a rare. So
it is.
So that's cool. It has a play, fight, reap ability. So you get to do this whether you play with it, fight with it, or reap with it, which is kind of crazy. But the text says, destroy an enemy creature or artifact and a friendly creature or artifact. Discard the top card of your deck. If that card is not a Logos card, trigger this effect again. So
it's just crazy.
I mean, talk about board wipes, right?
Talk about board wipes. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the thing, is like every I feel like every house has some kind of board wipe that I've seen so far, and it just looks different. But this guy, I mean, literally just drop him in there and just starts wrecking.
The theme is hilarious. Yeah. It's so great. It's like the shark's just chomping on everything it sees.
Exactly.
Yeah, I played against Tiny Grimes on his stream, and I was like one turn away from winning, basically. And he plays a Neutron Shark and systematically just like kills like all of my creatures and then enough
board.
Of his. Like, he never flipped over a card that wasn't Logos. And I had a card in my hand that was like something about,
you had
like
loot the bodies and you had,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had loot the bodies and I had a Brobnar card that said destroy all creatures with with no damage on them. And loot the bodies gives you one amber for every enemy creature that you destroy, I think. And he had like eight.
So and had like five.
Yeah, exactly. So he kept like using the Neutron. He had no idea that I had this in my hand, obviously. But he kept using the Neutron Shark and getting rid of his creature and my creature. And it went from like, I would have gained like 10 amber or 11 amber or something like that, and I only ended up gaining 4.
Oh my gosh.
It was so sad for me.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I watched you play that game. I was just had no clue what he's doing.
I know.
He's keeping
but he's just
so
he's wrecking me, and he doesn't even know that he's wrecking me. It was so funny.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, plus, I mean, it's like it's a shark. I mean, how cool is it to play a shark?
Yeah.
Like,
the art on is actually really awesome too. It's
Sharknado
like
style.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that's my card.
All right, Mike, what is your card?
All right. The card that I've seen recently that I really like, I think it's really, really interesting. It's in a house that is not my favorite house, but it is called Safe Place. It is a Shadows artifact.
Not your favorite house.
No. Shadows is not my favorite house. It's really powerful, but it's not my favorite to play. It's also... I always get wrecked by it, so...
Yeah.
I mean, but part of that is because I tend to not play around bait and switch, like, ever, yeah. Because I just, like, dare my opponent to have it, and then they do every single time. that's a personal problem. But... so, Safe Place is an artifact. It gives you an amber when you play it. And it says you may spend amber on Safe Place when forging keys... And the way you get amber onto Safe Place is with an action you can move. I'm pretty sure you have to exhaust it with that action.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, cool. And you move one amber from your pool to Safe Place. So I think this card is really interesting for a lot of reasons. If you're playing against a house that steals a lot, like Shadows, you can put it on a Safe Place, and then they can't steal that amber. The fact that you can only move one makes it less, like, good. Yeah, like less good, or like less sort of able to be a quote unquote safe place, I guess, for all of your amber. But if you do this enough times, you get there and you can, you know, spend your amber on it. But my favorite part about the card is that one of the game rules is that when a card leaves play, if it has any amber on it, your opponent gets that amber. So if your opponent can like in some way destroy Safe Place, they get all the amber that you were storing there, which I think is hilarious.
Yep. Yeah, that's so cool. I like that card. I just wish that it said like two. Move two.
No, I'm glad that Shadows doesn't get the help like that.
Yeah, that should be in a different house though, right? Because like
It does kind of feel Shadows-y, like, because it's like you know, like something that you just stole. You're like putting in you know, somewhere safe. So like I kind of get it, but like I could also see like Sanctum having an effect like this.
Yeah.
This feels very Sanctum-y too. I wonder if they'll have something. Like they totally could. We have no idea.
Yeah. So. Yeah. How many cards are left to be seen? Do you know?
I don't know. Hopefully a lot.
Hopefully a lot. I don't even know how many cards I've seen.
Yeah, I've probably only seen like 100 cards because I haven't like sat and looked through like all of them. I just know the ones that are in the decks that are on like five of the decks that I've played on TTS.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, that one's yours. Mine is a untamed card, and it is Mimicry. I don't know if this has been revealed anywhere else, but as far as I know, my deck was the first one that had it, and it's... action, when you play this card, treat it as a copy of an action card in your opponent's discard pile. This card is so sick.
That's because so good.
You can play it in bait and switch, you can play it in board wipe, you can play it and do crazy things.
Yeah, you just use your opponent's best action card against them.
Man. Yeah, bait and switch so specifically cool. Makes it feel like, oh, this is a good card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not great in response to a bait and switch, because like bait and switch after a bait and switch just is not that great.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like you're not gaining really any
it's
amber.
It's like multiple turns later you can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like on the turn after you forge... And then your opponent's about to, like, then you can do it. Or, you know, the board wipe play is amazing. Like, there's the Logos card. I forgot what the name is, but it has the ability that when you play it, your opponent can't use any action cards on their turn.
Yep.
That would be sweet.
Library access.
Oh, gosh.
If you
access.
Have Logos. If you have Logos in your deck, you know?
Well, right. Because it's... Is it when you play a Logos card
you draw? Yeah, it's any card. So yeah, it's
so you
even
just
better.
You just mimicry their thing, and then you just play all of your untamed cards.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's sweet. So
cool. Untamed is becoming one of my favorite houses for sure.
Yeah, and then Untamed's you just awesome. Witch of the Eye and get mimicry back. Ooh. And then do it again.
You're so salty about
yes,
Witch of
please.
The Eye.
Oh, that sounds great. she enables so many weird combos like that, but it's that's what makes this game fun.
Oh man.
Yeah. I really like mimicry. I think it's going to be a really and my deck so has funny. Two of them.
Yeah. Woo! For anybody who doesn't know what Witch of the Eye is, it's a 3-power creature. And when you reap with it, you return a card from your discard pile to your hand. So you could play something like the Mimicry. That would go to your discard pile. And then you could Witch of the Eye and get it back and use it again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which is...
And if you have both of them, you could potentially use it for two different action cards in your opponent's discard pile. So
yeah, and it's also it's a copy of it. So like, even if you play that Sanctum card that doesn't have an effect but gives you 3 amber, like that mm-hmm. works.
Yeah,
because it acts as an exact copy of that card. So you get that the amber awesome. Of any cards that.
Super oh cool. Yeah, that's a good point.
You pick.
That's a good point.
Such a cool card.
I did love Jay just a second ago. You said my deck has 2 minutes.
My deck,
it's just one of those like unique things about Keyforge where it actually is just your deck. Like you can't. This isn't like, oh, you took a bunch of cards and made your deck. Like no, it's legitimately you're the only deck that has. Well, not just maybe not 2 mimicry, but it's like I don't know. I just thought that was significant to think you're the only one who has that. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
So there you go. That was my pick. Yeah. Next up, we're going to do some King Potato Head.
That's right.
We have had several entries for King Potato Head this week. So
wait,
we're going to do
are you saying
two
King Potato Head. It's just King Potato.
Where does the head come from?
You know who Potato Head
yes,
is, right?
No, you just start like calling audibles.
Those are two different things, Jay.
All right, it's King Potato. So one thing is we're going to start a hashtag on Twitter for hashtag King Potato so that it's easier for us to go through and look at some of the submissions you guys have had. So totally tweet at us and use the hashtag King Potato for any deck lists or deck names that you get.
Yep. That you think right, so are King Potato worthy, Richard. If you missed last episode, Richard Garfield,
they think
funny. You know, he turned in a name of King Potato. He thought that was funny for a deck name. And we thought, what better thing to do than to have a segment every week celebrating the crazy names of these decks. I still think our whole podcast should just be about deck names, but I guess...
Yeah, I'm down. Just change it from the Wild Wormhole,
just to King Potato. Yes.
Yeah, just change the name to King Potato, that's it.
All we do is just read deck names the whole time, that's all we do.
Yeah. And then our thumbnails and everything will just be Potato Head.
There you go.
I love it. With a crown. With a crown.
With the crown.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Separate. Side note. Before you jump in, I did post a video on our Facebook, speaking of our name, Wild Wormhole, where I got Wild Wormhole so bad in a game. I literally stopped the game and I said, I have to video this because it's that amazing. Because he Wild Wormhole into a board wipe of like, get rid of all characters, 3 power higher. And I had like 13 creatures with 3 power higher. Like it was disgusting. So
that's crazy.
That was awesome.
The fact that our podcast is the Wild Wormhole made that sting maybe a little less because I was like, this card is really fun, but it was still pretty cool.
This is fun.
Yeah,
you lost like 8 creatures. Your opponent lost nothing. This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's your response. That's funny. Yeah, that's go great. Check out that video real fast.
Yeah.
All right, so the first one we're going to talk about was submitted by
I saw the one and only Zach Bunn over at Team Covenant.
This was submitted by D House.
Yeah, this is I'm choosing
D House submitted somebody else's deck.
Yeah. Hey, listen. When you see a deck name that's too good not to talk about for King Potato,
you can't
just pretend you didn't see it.
I can't deny the deck name.
I'm with you.
So
there.
Since I
so
submitted
go
it, I'm going to say it, Jay.
you should.
So Zach's deck name is Snake Jelly, the borrower, in air quotes, of law.
My favorite part of it is that borrower is in quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Snake Jelly is obviously a thief, guys. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Snake Jelly. Like
I hope that his deck is a Shadows deck and that like the fact that borrower in quotes is literally in there because it's Shadows.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. But have you ever just thought about turning a snake into jelly? Like what that would be like? I mean,
who says that it's not like jelly made from a snake? Like,
ugh.
Who knows? Who knows?
That's funny. So what is this thing with the tags? Like, I heard that something about the tags goes into your deck.
The tags?
What? Yeah, so, like, I don't know if the tags are the things that are in quotes, but, like, something about the name is integrated into the deck. Like, the name has tags. I don't know what that means.
Is, like is the thing after the comma, like, the borrower of law, is it, like, that's the tag? Probably.
I don't know.
Not all the decks have commas. Like, there was that Divinely Hunting Jason one.
Oh, that's true. But that deck probably just has, like, you know, like, it's made for somebody named Jason, so.
I'll have to look that up, because one of my friends today mentioned that something I didn't know was that the names of the decks have tags in them, whatever that means, that has something to do with your deck.
Got it.
Which is really cool.
What were your deck names?
Something about a lumberjack, and then
wait, you have not memorized your deck names, okay, Jay.
The lumberjack one, was that one Untamed?
That was yeah, it was.
Okay, so maybe like part of the thing has to do with like one or more houses of the deck.
That would be cool. Lumberjack and Untamed. That makes
sense. I will know the names of every single deck. I will memorize every one that I have.
It's the Gemini something lumberjack.
Okay, man.
And then the other one is
you're killing me right now.
Norton.
Listen, and you can't say, "Oh, I live in the South," because I'm in the South too, and you can't blame your Southern roots for that.
Okay, we already gone over this though. You're not from the South.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
The other one was Morton the Malcontent or something like that.
Did that one have Jis? Cool.
It did.
Hey, maybe that has to do with the Malcontent.
Hey, yeah, maybe we could do that like in future episodes where we do the King Potato name and you have to guess
somebody's houses based on their name.
That would be cool.
If there is indeed like connotations, you know, if there's connections there.
Yeah.
So Snake Jelly, the borrower of law, you guys said was House Shadows.
Yeah, my guess is that it has House Shadows in it.
And then, like, and if maybe, I were to guess, like, Snake also... Jelly would be, like, Untamed.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Snake Jelly could be Untamed, Borrower, and then the of law part could be, like, Sanctum.
Yeah,
so totally. It could be, like, Untamed, Shadows, Sanctum. I don't know if that's his deck or not. Yeah. But that makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me, too. There you go. All right, Mike, you say the next one. Who was this submitted by?
All right, so this next deck was submitted to us on Facebook. Let me pull
Michael Pitt.
Up the comment real quick. Yeah, so Michael Pitt, he sent us his deck. Okay, do you have it up, D-House, by chance?
No, I don't.
Mm-mm. Okay, I'm going to pull it up, and I'm going to because I think he posted the actual houses as well, so I'm gonna try to get you guys to guess the correct
one. Well, this one's gonna be
a
little bit harder.
Yeah,
this one's not the same kind of
this
name.
One looks like a challenge for sure. So the deck name is Yithi the Infallible.
All right,
and Yithi is just Y-T-H-Y.
yes.
Okay,
Infallible sounds like Brahmnar.
No, Infallible sounds like Sanctum to me. Because it can't be, like, they're, like, the honorable, like, they can't be corrupted type.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Either of those sound good to me, Sanctum or Brahmnar, because Brahmnar is, like, big, beefy guys. Yeah. I don't know about Yithi.
What about the Yithi?
Like, Dis or Untamed. That sounds like Untamed. That sounds like a druid type name.
Yeah, I would say Untamed.
Okay, so do you guys want to know what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Before I looked at this, I was thinking that like Yithi could either be Dis or like Mars, because like a lot of the Mars names sort of sound weird like that.
Yeah.
And it is Mars Sanctum Dis. So you guys got the Sanctum bit right for sure. I don't know where the Dis comes in, but. I could see Yithi as like something Mars-esque.
Yeah, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Yeah, so some of the Mars cards have really weird names like that.
Yeah, so I looked up Zach Bunn's Twitter and I found Snake Jelly.
Oh, what is it? Do we get it? So guess right?
So you guess what? You guess Shadows?
We guess Shadows, Sanctum, Untamed.
That's exactly it. Yes. That's exactly what it is. Shadow Sanctum.
That's amazing. That makes it so much better that it actually ties in. Oh my gosh.
Oh wow, that's really cool. Yeah, if that's how this
that
works.
That also makes this segment much more interesting.
Oh my gosh. If they figure out a way to like incorporate that, well done. Like my mind is
that's so awesome. They
did. As if my mind wasn't already blown about the uniqueness
that's
of the game.
So awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, Yithi totally sounds like it's totally Mars because that's how their names are. And Infallible, I guess, makes more sense Sanctum than Bravnar, so that makes sense to me. I'm down with that.
Wow.
It's awesome. I love it.
It's amazing.
There
it's
you
amazing.
Have it. I have to go check my houses and we can you guys can try to do it with the names of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we will.
Let me see again.
All right. Well, that was King Potato, not King Potato Head, just King Potato.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, I don't want you guys to get confused because I was being goofy. I was being a goof.
What a goof.
All right, so that's our episode this week. Make sure to go follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, and then follow us on all of the podcast platforms, whatever you like to use, subscribe to us. Also, if you use iTunes, please go and leave us a review. That would be awesome. And on Facebook and iTunes both use the review system, and the more reviews, especially good reviews we have, the more likely that people will find us. So that would be a huge help for us. We are working on a Patreon and some cool kinds of ways that we can give back to the community. So look out for that in the next few months whenever we get that established and everything. And we really appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us ramble about Keyforge.
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
It's been fun.
It's been a blast. All righty, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, we'll see y'all in the next one.
Peace.
Bye.